Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lightning fans, you found the right show for everything you need to know about your favorite team in the NHL. It's the Lightning Insider Podcast with Erik Erlandson. Get ready for insight, historical perspective, interviews, and breaking news that comes from a reporter insider who's got near 20 years on the tip of a Lightning beat. Now for the latest with the Lightning, here's Erik.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome into the Lightning Insider.com podcast. Erik Erlandson from Lightning Insider. com with a quick look back at game number one of the Sunshine State Showdown, round two between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Florida Panthers, and a look ahead to game number two, which take place tonight as I'm recording this Thursday at Florida Live Arena before the series shifts back to Amalie Arena for games three and four. Please note, game three is on Sunday. That's a 1:30 p.m. start. Game four would be on Monday, which is a 7 o'clock start, so back-to-backs in this series are coming up when the series shifts back to Amalie Arena. But this particular episode, we want to look back at game one of the series, and it was not what we expected, I don't think, in terms of how the game was played, the intensity, and it just had a different feel, certainly from last year when these two teams met in game one of the opening round, and that was sort of the game of the playoffs. I think so many people had been talking about with all the penalties, and there were four different lead changes, and a Lightning rally. Well, they're up in the third period. They fall behind in the third period. They tie in the third period. Brayden Point wins it with a minute 14 to go. Game one of this series was not really anything like that. On many levels, kind of a slow-ish game, I guess, if you want to kind of describe it as that. It certainly wasn't game one of the Battle of Alberta, which 15 combined goals scored in that game, and you know Calgary's up, 5-1 and 6-2, and Edmonton comes back to tie the game 6-6 early in the third before Calgary scores a few more goals to put that game away. A little the opposite in this game, which I guess it is unexpected in a few ways, because you know we figured with what we saw last year it would be some carryover, and you know game one was the 22nd time these two teams have met since January of last year, if you count the preseason games they played this year, the eight times they met last year, and of course the six game series. Last season, the four games they played this year, they know each other. They're very familiar with each other, even though, you know, Florida made some additions late in the year. Remember, the regular season's meetings between these teams took place, for the most part, in the first 3 months of the regular season, and they only played once down the stretch, and that was in late April. And, of course, Florida had added Claude Giroux and Ben Chiarot to their lineup. So a little bit of a different look on Florida's end. Of course, Tampa Bay adding Brandon Hagel and Nick Paul as well. But for the most part, the teams know each other. They know their styles. They know everything they're about. So there wasn't a lot of unexpected elements in terms of their play. But we just didn't see the whistles, the post-scrum whistles, post-whistle scrums, if I can get my English right. Or anything like that. It just they played hockey, and Lightning end up coming away. They score the final four goals of the game. Of course, Nikita Kucherov put on a little bit of a dazzling show. His two moves to lead to the first Lightning goal, which is on the power play late in the second period. First, his sort of inside out move on Mackenzie Weegar draws a hooking penalty. And then during the power play, after Florida had a little bit of a rush up the ice, you know, Andre Vasilevsky kicks the puck out or knocks the puck out towards the circle area, and Kucherov picks it up, and he's, you know, this is the understanding of a player who picks up the puck, knows he's got two Florida guys caught behind him, so they've got a little bit of an advantage if they skate up the ice, and he takes off with all that open ice, and as soon as he hits the Florida blue line, he puts on another inside-out move on Aaron Ekblad, just left Ekblad in the dust, or as somebody put it on Twitter, turn Ekblad into a ghost because he just disappeared, and sets up an easy two-on-one tap-in goal for Corey Perry. Tied the game. Pierre-Édouard Bellemare scores the eventual game winner early in the third. A couple of late power play goals tacked on by Tampa Bay Kucherov and Ross Colton, and you get a 4-1 result in game one. So Tampa Bay has now won three consecutive games, winning games 6 and 7 against Toronto. Now game one of the series against the Florida Panthers to take a 1-0 series lead. And some elements that we'll look into what we saw in game number one. But before we do get to that, I want to let you know that this podcast is presented by BioPro Plus. It's the first 100% non-synthetic alternative to prescription HGH growth hormone treatments. Improve your performance, metabolism, and energy without any needles or nasty side effects of prescription injections. BioPro Plus works faster, is easier to use, and is 100% safe. Are you a guy over 35 who wants to fix how he performs, looks, and feels? Then BioPro Plus is right for you. Find BioPro Plus on Instagram and Twitter at BioProteinTech or online at BioProteinTech.com, where you can use the code LIGHTNING for $30 off any order. That's at BioProteinTech.com. All right, what did we see in Game 1? While we didn't see Braden Point, which was not to be unexpected, I think moving forward here, you have to get the understanding or thought process anyway that you might not see him in the series. I'm not saying that's the case, but I'm saying you have to understand that that's a possible scenario. Just because of the nature of the injury, we haven't seen him on the ice, didn't practice with the team on Wednesday. John Cooper already ruled him out for game two. We'll see, you know, we have the situation here with the 2 days off in between games. You know, as I said in the previous podcast, yeah, I know a lot of people are talking about the back-to-backs in this situation, but not a lot of talk about, well, hey, the teams get an extra day of rest. So there's a balance there that comes with it. So there's 2 days off. The team, of course, won't practice on Friday, but they'll probably practice on Saturday because you get the 1:30 game, so there'll be no morning skate for that Sunday game. So it does buy, if you want to say that, an extra day of potential rest before game three. But that's where we are with Braden Point. Tampa Bay able to win game one without him. We've seen this team do this many times before. Of course, in 2020 with no Steven Stamkos for all but basically, what, six shifts in the Cup Final against Dallas. Earlier this year, of course, no Nikita Kucherov for 3 months. No Point for about 6 weeks in November and December. So they understand what it takes to win or how they have to win without some of their top players. And that's exactly what this is with this team and understanding exactly how they need to go out about their business despite some of their top players not being available to them. So they understand that, and I thought game one was really the epitome of a team-style game, right? You get a power play goal. Well, you get three power play goals in total, but just rolling through the game, everybody. You know, in the series against Toronto, we didn't see a ton of ice time for the fourth line, the Bellemare, Maroon, Corey Perry line. I think I even looked it up. I think their ice time, their total ice time at 5-on-5 in that series against Toronto was about 30 total minutes behind anybody else forward-wise in the series. So didn't get to utilize them as much as I think John Cooper likes to do, but, you know, Toronto, what you really didn't want to have happen was get the wrong line caught out against the Matthews-Marner situation. We saw that a couple times in that series. So their ice time was limited. There were a couple of games where, you know, Maroon, who doesn't play special teams as much as he used to, he's seen some second power play time right now because of the injury to Point, which bumps Corey Perry up to the first power play. So he's getting a little bit of power play time now. But his ice time in game one was just under 11 minutes, 9 of that at even strength, 9 minutes and 20 seconds at even strength. So they were able to utilize him and you know, roll. And that, again, they dressed 11-7 because of that. Pierre-Édouard Bellemare had 9:50 of even strength time, 12:56 total because he plays shorthanded. And then Corey Perry ended up with 15, just a tick under 16 minutes of ice time, 9:36 at even strength. He had 6 minutes of power play time in that game as he, as I said, he joined the top unit for the game, so his ice time ticked up because of that. But you could see that the fourth line, you know, right in that 9 to 10 minute range in even strength time. And, you know, when you're playing 11-7, there's going to be some uptick in forward ice time. But it's good to be able to utilize that because, you know, this team was coming off a very emotional, hard-fought series against the Leafs, draining in a lot of ways. And, you know, you had 2 days between the end of that series and the start of this one, and it can be taxing. And I think it's important that they were able to utilize that and spread out the ice time a little bit more than we saw in the Toronto series. So that was a good aspect to see. The 11-7, I know Stephanie asked me about this quite a bit every time it comes up. With no Point available, they did opt to dress 11-7, so Jan Ruda came back into the lineup as opposed to Riley Nash, who did take warm-up. Both Ruda and Nash were on the ice for warm-up. They opted to go 11-7 in the game, and there's obvious advantages for when you do this. Number one, you create a little bit of a different matchup situation, and not that this series is going to be as dedicated to matchups on Tampa Bay side as it was in the last series trying to match up against Marner Matthews. But it does create some situations to where you can get a Nikita Kucherov, you know, 4 or 5 extra shifts a game, or Steven Stamkos 3 or 4 extra shifts a game, you know, Anthony Cirelli a few extra shifts a game, whatever, you know, and you can throw them out there with, you know, and we saw different combinations because of the 11-7. I mean, you saw Kucherov out there with Brandon Hagel and Ross Colton at times, right? So it throws a different look at the other team. The other advantage here with 11-7 is if you get a defenseman injured, or if, as John Cooper says, sometimes if they end up in the penalty box, you've still got 6 defensemen. Well, that did come into play in game one, because Eric Chernak only played 10 minutes and 25 seconds. He blocked a shot from Brandon Montour. I know. Happened to him a few times this year, hasn't it? Block shots have been his bane this season. But he didn't come back in the game, so they were still able to finish with 6 defensemen in the game. And they didn't overtax the D. You know, you get in a little bit of a rotation, which, you know, the ice time in that game was right about where you would expect it to be. Mikhail Sergachev in the 22 to 23 minute range, Ryan McDonough in the 22 to 23 minute range, maybe a little bit more for Victor Hedman, who was up in the 26 to 27 minute range. And then you go down with everybody else. Zach Bogosian played 10 minutes, Kyle Foote played 7 minutes, Jan Ruda played 11.5 minutes. So you see how they spread out some of the ice time on the D, so not overtaxing the D, which had they had to finish with 5, it'd be different. Now, the disadvantage would be if you lose a forward.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Only dressing 11. And, you know, they almost went into this situation, if you remember back to game two against the Islanders in 2020, where Braden Point was battling an injury, started the game, didn't finish it, and they dressed 7-11 in that game. Alex Killorn was ejected from that game. Remember, he got a one-game suspension for a hit he delivered. And that was the game where Nikita Kucherov scored in the final minute to give Tampa Bay the victory and go up 2-0 in that series. But they were staring at having to go to overtime with just 10 forwards. Almost 9, really. So that is the disadvantage to playing 11-7. But, you know, I've always liked it in certain situations. I still think that this team, the way that it is built right now, I think they're a better 12-6. But that's when all their forwards are healthy. You know, how much is there a major difference between, say, playing a Riley Nash, who has seen time with the team this year, earlier, compared to, you know, bringing back in a Jan Ruda? Is there a huge difference? I don't know that there is. You know, Nash can kill penalties. He's a good defensive center. He's a right-hand shot. He can take face-offs. You know, you're missing Braden Point as a right-hand shot center. So that would give you an additional right-hand center to maybe take some D-zone draws if he needed him to in the right circle. But I don't think there's an advantage one way or the other. So we'll see if that continues heading into game two.
Don't be left out. Make sure you subscribe to the Lightning Insider on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else where podcasts are found. Now, here again is Eric.
I can tell you this. Eric Chernak looks like he's fine. He was the first player out on the ice when practice started on Wednesday. There's no morning skate ahead of game number two. So Chernak skated. John Cooper said that he thinks that Chernak should be fine. Zach Bogosian also did not skate, but John Cooper said that he is expected to be fine. So again, the only thing you're staring at is missing Braden Point, and I would anticipate the same lineup. You know, John Cooper is not a coach to react one way or the other to wins and losses in the playoffs. You know, some coaches will sit there and say, ah, we lost the game, I need to change the lineup. He doesn't necessarily think that way, and he's not afraid to make changes after they win a game. It's just his coaching style. But I would anticipate that we would see the same lineup tonight heading into game two. And you would also have to anticipate that Florida's going to up their game. They kind of did this in the first round against Washington, where the Capitals came back on them, won the game in the third period, took a 1-0 series lead. Florida was much better in game two. I would expect them to speed their game up. Look like they weren't at... It's almost like you're watching a Florida team which averaged over 4 goals per game in the regular season. The first team to do that since Pittsburgh back in the mid-90s. That they want to play, they want to show or be a team that can play defense, right? And then they can counter. They've got the speed. They transition so well that they want to try and play that style of game and not rope-a-dope you, but counteract. They want to be a counter-transition team. You see that a lot in soccer, right? And not that they're packing it in or anything like that. They still had some chances off the rush. They're not afraid to push the pace when they have to, but it just you just get the sense in watching this Florida team in the playoffs compared to the regular season that they want to play defense. They want to control that, keep the puck out of their own net more so than trying to open the game up, which is not a bad strategy if you're Andrew Burnett. I don't know if it fits their style. You know, you're asking the team to play a different way than the way they played throughout a good portion of the regular season. It can be done. I mean, look, they advanced past that series against the Capitals, even though the Capitals had them on the ropes twice. You know, Washington should have been up 3-1. Couldn't hold a late lead in game four. Florida tied it up. Carter Verhaeghe won it shortly into overtime. And then the Capitals had them down 3-0 in game five. Couldn't hold that lead. And eventually lost the series as Florida advanced to the second round for the first time since 1996. But here's the thing you have to be wary of. If they're going to play that style, if they're going to play that way, you have to be weary of their ability to come back, right? I know some of those questions have been asked here leading into game one about how cognizant they have to be of that, and you have to. Hey, look, they came back from down 3-0 in game five against Washington. So they certainly have the capability to do it if they want to open it up. And if that's going to be the case, you have to find ways to slow them down. And that's not easy. So I would expect that we'll see Florida speed their game up a little bit. I would expect Tampa Bay to speed their game up. They're a savvy veteran team who understands now the ebbs and flows of a series. You know, once you lose a game, you know you can't afford to lose the next one. We certainly talked plenty about that with Tampa Bay over the past two postseasons. One thing to keep an eye on is Carter Verhaeghe, who, you know, he missed some practice time, some morning skates in the series against Washington. He left the ice early ahead of the morning skate, ahead of game two. So we'll see what his health looks like when the teams take the ice for warm-up tonight. But that's one thing to keep an eye on with the Panthers heading into game number two. There was a couple of questions that came in that I want to get to. And, of course, you can always ask a question of me for the podcast if you use the hashtag AskEE. I will get to the questions and answer them here on the podcast. So I want to get to these two. The first one comes from Chris, who asked if the atmosphere in the building was as dead as it seemed on TV. I can't speak to how it came across on television, but I can tell you there was not a playoff intense crowd. The whole game just didn't have that playoff feel intensity, and it does include the crowd in the game. You know, some of us were even talking that last year in game one, when, you know, we were still under COVID restrictions in terms of attendance, and the Lightning were, or the arena was at 50% capacity for that game, so there was just a tick under 10,000 in the building. And maybe it was the enthusiasm of, you know, the building opening up and games being able to play with, you know, a decent amount of fans in the stands. It felt like there was more energy crowd-wise in that game compared to an arena that had 20,000 in it on Tuesday. Does some of that come from the way the game was played? Maybe. Possibly. You know, the Panthers only scored one game. There weren't a lot of those type of moments in the game. So maybe that came across. So I guess, you know, and Chris isn't the first one to kind of mention this to me about how or what I saw in my timeline about how the atmosphere was. It was a little subdued for a playoff game for sure. I expect that to change for game two. I expect there to be more Lightning fans actually in the stands for game two. which should make that a little interesting. There were some. You could hear them, even on the replays, the replay of the Corey Perry goal after that inside-out move by Nikita Kucherov. You could hear some Lightning fans in the stands react to that. But we'll see. We'll see what it looks like in Game 2. There was another one here from Michael. The Lightning had 18 shots on goal in the third period. What is the most shots on goal for a period in the playoffs, if you have that stat? And I do have that stat for you, Michael. Took a little research to find it before I came on here, but the record for most shots on goal in one period is 22. And they've done it a couple of times. I guess technically, it says for home games, 22 against Dallas, which obviously took place in the bubble in Edmonton in that game when they had 22 shots on the third period against the Stars of Game 1. But they also had 22 shots on goal last year in the first period against Florida in Game number 5, May 24th, in the first period. 22 shots on goal was the record then as well. So there you go. That's the record. Thanks for the questions. That's a good one, Michael. I didn't even catch that. And glad you brought it to my attention and I was able to bring it an answer for you. So before we sign off, want to also make sure you know that this podcast is also brought to you by BetUS. With the NHL playoffs into the second round, the NBA playoffs into their conference finals, NFL season coming up quickly, you need a sports book with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may not know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sportsbook industry for almost 3 decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. It's BetUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 800-69-BETUS. That's 800-MY-BETUS. You receive 125% sign-up bonus by using the code BOLTS22. They have re-up and referral bonuses as well. BetUS is known as America's favorite sportsbook for a lot of reasons. BetUS has all your NBA and NHL playoff action with team and player props and loads of NFL futures and NFL odds up already. You can bet UFC matches and props, PGA golf and round matchups, and live betting on most sports, including golf. The online casino has hundreds of games, and the Racebooks has all your horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable, and the sharp BetUS mobile platform is easy with full betting options. Follow my lead and get your phone, online, and social sports betting partner with integrity and longevity, BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid, BetUS. All right, again, game number 2, Florida and Tampa Bay takes place tonight, Thursday at 7 p.m. All games in this series, by the way, are broadcast on TNT television. You can catch it also, of course, always on Lightning Power Play. Dave Mishkin and Phil Esposito have the calls for you. Don't forget that I have the pregame skate show, which airs 1 hour before every playoff game. Myself and Bobby the Chief Taylor, again, on Lightning Power Play and News Radio WFLA 970 AM in the Tampa market. That's 1 hour before every playoff game. Myself and Bobby the Chief Taylor get you set for the game. My weekly hits with Ian Beckles and Jay Retcher. Didn't have one on Wednesday this week, so I'll be in on Friday. So the day after game 2, I will be in studio from 3 to 4 p.m. with Ian and Jay. So make sure you check that out. We take phone calls, questions, texts. So make sure you're tuned in after game 2 on Friday between 3 and 4 p.m. I'll be live in studio, plus we play a little bit of Name That Tune as well. Also, if you haven't subscribed to my website, I encourage you and ask you to check it out. It's the best way to support me if you can, if you enjoy what I do, if you enjoy these podcasts, if you enjoy my interactions on Twitter, my ability to go in and talk to Ian and Jay for an hour and just have just straight hockey talk for that amount of time. This is the best way to support me, and if you want to sign up for a yearly subscription, I'm going to give you $10 off your first year. Simply use the code PODCAST. That's PODCAST, PODCAST. Give you $10 off your first yearly subscription. That's at lightninginsider.com as well. All right, that's going to sign me off for today. We'll have another recap for you after game number two, so be on the lookout for that. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcast to the LightningInsider.com podcast. You can simply look up Lightning Insider wherever you get your podcast, and you can find it there. So check it out, subscribe it, rate it, share, let your friends know. Thanks, everybody, as always, and we'll talk soon.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.